Andrew Stoughton from BlueJaysNation.com joins us. Andrew, how are you, man?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, buddy, this is, like, there's been series before, but because of last year and everything now this year, like, this one is a fun series to get up for. Like, there's no shortage of storylines.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's the big one, which is Odor and Bautista and the bat flip and the big punch or the, you know, whatever you want to, however you want to define that punch. Yeah, it's a great little rivalry, even though they're, you know, not in the same division. And there's bad blood. I mean, John Gibbons called the Rangers gutless for not throwing at Jose Bautista until the sixth game that they played this season. It was the last game that the two teams were scheduled to play. You know, they played three in Toronto, didn't do anything, played two in Texas, and then got to the eighth inning of that game, and that's when that all went down. It was Jose Bautista's last at-bat against the Rangers this season, at least in the regular season. So the Jays haven't really had a chance to respond to that, and I kind of roll my eyes at the code stuff and the way that the players like to police themselves sometimes, but I can't deny that it makes for a fun backdrop to a game in a series like this.
Oh, I think it's fantastic. So now let's look at this matchup. When you look at the starting pitchers, the top two in Texas are very good. You know, a lot of people would argue maybe the top three and four, especially how Stroman pitched last game, would be better overall. So pitching depth might be Toronto's advantage, but Darvish might be the best pitcher in the series.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think that's the thing that's going to really turn the series is whether Darvish and Hamels can be scored on by the Jays, because they've, you know, the Jays have had this frustrating offense, and you know, especially for the second half, it's been tough to scratch runs across, and these are really good pitchers. Even though Cole Hamels is a left-hander, and the Jays usually do well against left-handed pitching, he's not your typical, you know, slop throwing lefty. He is a true ace, and Darvish is probably even a cut above him. So yeah, it's they're in tough against these two pitchers. They'll probably get a break against whoever else goes in the rest of the series. But yeah, it's going to be really, really interesting. And you're right, the Jays have great pitching depth. The starters have been doing it all year long, and it's been really incredible actually to watch because of, you know, what we thought going into the season and people losing their minds about David Price not coming back, and oh, you get Jay Happ and Estrada comes back, and everybody kind of thought that this was a championship offense that didn't have the starting pitching to get them here. And it's gone completely the other way. So, I mean, huge credit to the Blue Jays starters. But, you know, if you're looking at short series, you probably would rather be set up like the Rangers with a couple of aces at the top of the rotation rather than the depth that the Jays have, because they're not going to really use their fourth starter. And they have a fifth starter looking like it's going to be Francisco Liriano, who's going to end up in the bullpen probably.
So when you look at Stroman, you don't think he's going to start game four?
No, I think Stroman will start game four, yeah. Okay. I think it's Liriano that'll end up in the bullpen.
Well, yeah, which is smart. Now, they're going to lose Pompey, who is really would only come as a pinch runner in most cases because of Osuna and his potential in might not be active tonight, maybe not tomorrow. John Gibbons didn't want to tip his hat on that, but obviously they went with the extra pitcher in the bullpen because of it. I understand the decision. So if Pompey's not there, how do you think that changes when it comes to pinch runner guys? Is that basically where we're going to see Upton for the most part?
Yeah, I mean, Upton's starting tonight, but if Upton's not starting, then yeah, I think he's probably a guy who you'll see as a pinch runner. He's got some speed. He's not a bad base runner. Nobody on the team is Pompey. I mean, Upton and Ezekiel Carrera. Wow, I almost said it like Buck Martinez there. they both can hold their own on the bases, I think, and will be assets for the Jays. But I mean, we saw what Pompey could do last year. He was a real weapon there. And so it's unfortunate that Osuna's shoulder has caused this, but it looks like, you know, they're trying to say that he's fine and not tipping their hand about it. The fact that he's even on the roster, I think, is a good thing. They seem to think that he's feeling better and might not necessarily need time off. But yeah, it will only come out in certain spots. You know, there's only certain times when you need a pinch runner. But yeah, to have Pompey there, I mean, there were times in that Kansas City series last year where it was like the whole building knew that he was going to steal. And he did it anyway. That's the kind of speed that he has. So it's a difference-making kind of speed, and it's different than having Upton and Carrera. But if those guys are on base, you know, if the object is to score from second on a single, those guys are still fine. It's just if you need to get your runner into scoring position through the stolen base, then that's going to be tougher. But the Jays have kind of gone away from that a little bit anyway lately, throwing in a few more bunts, just trying to get the offense going. So it might not be a huge difference for them, I think, this time.
Andrew Stoughton from BlueJaysNation.com joins us. Jays taking on Texas. Were you a little surprised in the fact that Darwish didn't go in game one? Because I thought having to face, you know, just, you know, his nastiness and then going to a guy who doesn't have as much velocity, that that might be a different change. Are you surprised at who they chose to go in game one and two?
Not terribly, no. I mean, I think, I don't know, I honestly don't know what their rest was like, but I assume they both could have gone. And I think, you know, Hamels is as good as anybody. He's a big game pitcher. He's the guy who pitched in game two and went toe-to-toe with Stroman, and or sorry, game five last year, and went toe-to-toe with Stroman and was so difficult to get to, and things really didn't come apart for the Rangers until he left the game. Because even though, like I say, even though he's a lefty, that's a you know, the Blue Jays handle lefties well, I think it's going to be really difficult for them. And he's, you know, he's been an ace for a long time, veteran guy. And, I could understand them going with him and wanting to have him a couple times, in a series if they need to.
Edwin Encarnacion, reliving Jose Bautista's three-run shot. Difference was this was in the 11th, and it was a walk-off, and the place went absolutely bananas, rightfully so. They're celebrating. You look at this series, and, you know, Jose Bautista, man, people can critique him all they want at different times as the, you know, maybe the dog days of summer, but in the month of September, you know, there was no bigger guy for the Jays, and so far and in the post, you know, he gets the home run right away. Outside of those two, like, is Josh Donaldson in your eyes, is that a guy who's got to step up his game for them to win this series?
I think that would certainly help. Yeah, I mean, watching Bautista do what he did is incredible. And I mean, last year, people forget the game six against Kansas City, and I think everybody probably wants to forget that if you're a Jays fan. But Bautista tried to, you know, basically put the team on his back in that one as well. I mean, he's been so tremendous for them when they've needed him the most, which is great. But yeah, Donaldson, I think, is a guy who I still wonder how his hip is doing, because, you know, it just, you know, the home runs haven't been there lately, and maybe that's just a coincidence. Obviously, it's not, you know, you're not going to hit a home run every time up, but you know, he could certainly step up his game a little bit, which I hate. I don't like using that phrase just because I don't think it's a matter of him not trying, or, you know, I think yeah. It's just he's physically not there. Tulowitzki, I think, has been great lately. I think has the potential to be another game changer in that lineup. So I think the Jays have a lot of options there, what they have all year, and that's been sort of the thing. You know, you think that an offense with the names and the caliber of talent that they have in that lineup would be doing a lot better than they have in the last month or two, or even in the whole second half. So the potential is certainly there for them to do something, but they've got to finally do it. I mean, this is it. This is the playoffs. They've got to get it done.
Now, there was a lot of people questioning John Gibbons. Every decision he made in game on Tuesday night worked out well. From a starter, came through, you know, the bullpen. He went to get, you know, Bangini at the right time, got him out of trouble. He was great. Like, you know, Gibbons, he's got to get full marks. And, you know, and on the other side of things, people were looking at Showalter and some of his decisions. I think it's safe to say that, I don't know if outmanage is the right word, but his gut instincts definitely came out smelling much better than Showalter's.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, Showalter, the decision not to go to Zach Britton was crazy to me, and I think was justifiably ripped basically everywhere. I mean, nobody really understands how that was allowed to happen when you have a guy who people are putting in the Cy Young conversation as a reliever, which I think is, you know, that's another issue. I wouldn't vote for him for Cy Young. I don't think he's a reliever pitches enough, but I mean, he's had that good of a season that people are talking about it, and to leave him on the bench and to not have used him in a do-or-die game that you lose, is mind-boggling. I mean, full marks to John Gibbons for sure for what the way that he managed that game and how it worked out. But I mean, that's sort of in terms of evaluating managers, I would not get too down on John Gibbons if he made sort of coin flip decisions and they didn't work out, if they were justifiable. And I guess I therefore can't get too up on him for making decisions that ended up working out. And some of them weren't even his decisions. You know, when Osuna left the game, that's when Francisco Lurial came in. And Liriano was terrific, and it could have been a different game had Osuna stayed, and that really wasn't necessarily a decision that Gibbons made, or it was at least one that he was forced into. But yeah, the way he deployed the bullpen, I think, was excellent. I don't think he has a lot of choice back there, just because he doesn't trust a lot of guys very much at the moment, and rightly so. But yeah, it worked out well. You could tell he was thrilled that it worked out well when seeing him in the interviews afterwards. And I think he's a guy that, you know, Blue Jays fans shouldn't get too down on and should have some faith in. And I think, you know, obviously, ultimately, it comes down to the talent and the guys on the field executing more than the manager, even though the manager gets a lot of the blame when things go wrong and probably not enough credit when they go right.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I think, you know, Gibbons, the one thing that Gibbons seems to know, Andrew, is he understands the personalities of his team and which guys to challenge at which time and which guys not to. And, you know, the reason he got kicked out of so many games this year, he's always in there standing up for his players to avoid them getting kicked out of games. Like, I know there's a lot of people that hate on Gibbons, but I actually think Gibbons has done a really good job.
Yeah, I love that about him, too, that he goes and you know, when you see the guy – you know, who might get himself run, goes and steps in and takes one for the team and is not afraid to get himself ejected, which is always fun, even though, you know, who knows what that means for, you know, the way they're going to be able to manage the team for the rest of the game. But I do enjoy seeing Gibbons out there jawing with guys and getting his money's worth. He definitely knows, you know, once he gets tossed, he'll stick around for a little bit just to make sure the umpire knows he's not happy about it. I think that, you know, the players seem to have a good relationship with Gibbons. They feel, you know, you don't hear stuff. You certainly don't see body language or anything of the sort that would make you think that these guys don't think that Gibbons has their backs. And he seems to manage that way as well. You know, there's a lot of sort of trust games going on and letting guys go through, you know, tough times and having their back and showing faith in them and hoping that that's going to pay off in the end. And I think that's a smart way to manage a team for 162 games. It changes a little bit in the playoffs, and there's a bigger microscope on him. So we'll see how that goes. I think Jays fans will still probably end up being, finding reasons to not like John Gibbons. But I'm with you. I think he's done a great job.
I know you're picking the Jays, and how many games are you picking them?
Oh, wow. I would like to get it over with, to be honest. No, I think that four games seems about right. I mean, that's maybe a disrespect to the Rangers. I think Jays fans wouldn't want to see it go back to Texas and see Hamels again in a game five. But four games sounds about right. I mean, if they can get to Hamels or Darvish in one of these first two games, they're really sitting pretty because they shift the home field advantage to themselves. And the Rangers' lesser starting pitchers have just that much bigger a task, and they're going to be going head to head with, like we say, the deep rotation of the Jays. So, you know, the fact that the Jays in games three and four will be starting Stroman and Sanchez, I think that bodes well for them. So it's really, I think it's going to come down to these first two games here in Texas, and if the Jays can get the job done, then they're really in good shape.
Well, I agree. If the Jays get a split in Texas and then you get Sanchez in game three at home, that's huge advantage for them, because I would argue that Sanchez is the Jays' ace right now. As good as Jay Happ's been all year long, right now in the last few games, if I had to pick one pitcher I'd want in one game for the Jays, it'd be Sanchez.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, too. I mean, he just he's a different caliber of pitcher. I mean, Happ's been getting the results for sure. But Sanchez is the guy that people go up and they don't want to face him. He's the guy with the crazy stuff that, you know, the fastball that's fast and sinks and is heavy or moves on you. And then, you know, the fact that he can drop in that curveball, you know, more and more effectively as the season goes on, and maybe even mix in a changeup that he doesn't even really need to do because his fastball is just so good. He can live off that. And it's, that's a dangerous weapon to have. That's why he was so good in the bullpen, and it's translated so well to the rotation. Not to take away from the season Jay Happ's had. But yeah, I think Sanchez is definitely the team's ace, and they'll probably, should they get on to the next round, realign their rotation to make more use of him.
Andrew, always good to talk to you, man. Enjoy this series. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks very much.